We're continuing in Mishle. We had learned Psukim about co-signing and King Solomon's advice if you got stuck in a situation where you co-sign. And now we'll move on to another level of interpretation in these Psukim. The Midrash says that that the Psukim are referring to our relationship with God. God is often referred to as our best friend. The whole Song of Songs is about the love song of the nation, the great story of love between God and His people. We are His beloved, He is our beloved. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, on a deeper level, he says, Beni imaravta l'reicha. And the word im over here means now that you have co-signed, so to speak, taken the responsibility towards your friend, you've entered into a relationship. You're married. Takata lazal kapecha. And you find yourself in a situation where you agree to turn your back on your friend and go with a stranger. Every generation had its challenges where people were tempted to turn their back on the covenant with God. Be it the time of the Inquisition, be it in the generation of the Haskalah. Sometimes it was because of the threats of remaining Jewish, and sometimes it was because of the temptation of the sweetness of leading an irreligious life. So a person will sometimes find himself takata lazal kapecha, where he's entered a deal with a stranger, so to speak. He's entered a deal to turn his back on his friend, to turn his back on God, to turn his back on the relationship that he's in, the covenant that he's in. Nokashta v'imreficha. Shlomo says, you've spoken to strangers and you're stuck. You've entrapped yourself in what you said. Nilkadita v'imreficha. And in saying so, you've trapped yourself. And before we continue, one of the ways that missionaries try to get into Jewish homes is by offering favors. They even offer free money. Guys in the Machon have more than once approached me. I get this every few months, that they were offered free money, they were offered gifts. Sometimes it's missionaries here in Israel, sometimes it's friends or relatives or missionaries back from the States. They first want to enter a relationship, and the relationship is that they're giving. But you know what? They're giving because they want you to feel like you owe them something. And after a time, they'll take back, or they'll try to take back. One of the ways that the governments try to get spies is they come to a person and they tell him, we want to hire you. We'll tell you what information we need, and I will give you a monthly stipend. So the first few months they don't ask for anything. The first few months they just put into his bank account, or they give him cash, a sizable amount each month. So what does the guy do? Suddenly he has another $10,000 a month. What's he supposed to do with that? So he goes out and buys a bigger car. And he's starting to pay off the car. But, you know, $10,000 a month, so you could buy better food. You could rent a bigger apartment. You could buy a bigger house. So he enters a bigger mortgage. And after about 5 or 6 months that this is going on, or after a year or 2 years, after they gauge that he's already entered enough serious debt that he's relying on this being a part of his life, they ask him for a big favor. And he starts hesitating. And suddenly next month there's no paycheck in his bank account. And now he already has, wait a second, he's already used to driving that car. And he's already, he has this house he has to pay off. He's already become accustomed to a different lifestyle. And he doesn't see any way out. This is standard practice. Governments do this all over the world. Um, There are other ways and there are more subtle ways, but very often people try to get under our skin by first giving us a gift. And you know what? It could be your mother-in-law. She'll give you a gift and then she'll discuss with you how you could spend it, where you should spend it. And maybe it's time you took my daughter to a better place, and maybe it's time you did. And throughout our history, the other religions have tried to get us to turn our back on our covenant with God, either by force or by trying to sweet talk us, by trying to entice us. And sometimes a person finds himself where he was seduced and he entered a deal. He entered and now he's stuck. What's he to do? So Shlomo HaMelech says, this is what you got to do to save yourself. Yes, Yohanan.
How is it like by the halakha? What is like the degree you can defend yourself against these enemies of the Jewish people? Because we can call them the enemies, spiritual enemies for sure, right?
For sure.
How can you? To what point does the halakha say like until this and no further? Like
each person should ask his question. In each situation, ask the question.
Because it's like it's a huge problem in Israel and throughout the world. Actually, it's like a huge problem. Like people.
The general advice is don't get involved. If they're emailing you, block their email address. Not to answer them. Not to.
Bring me money? Can you take it?
The recommendation is no. Don't take the money and don't enter the relationship at all. Completely not. Don't put yourself in a situation where there's any correspondence. Leave it. That's what our sages did too. They turn their back and walk away. We don't even enter a dialogue. But each situation deserves its own conversation.
Abbas, there's like a famous guy from the U.S. and he's keeping getting back to Israel and even has stored a visa. And he's an acting missionary. It's a fact. And like the Hasidim there, they try to annoy him all the time, like he's in the news many, many times. So, but he uses violence as well. Like, why is the Israeli government like actively fighting on this? Or?
I don't know. I don't know.
Actually, I do know. They are actively fighting this. There's an organization called Yad Lebanim. Yad Lachim. Yad Lachim. Yad Lachim.
Okay. Kivata bechaf re'echa. So Shlomo HaMelech says, wait a second, but which deal came first? Very often we comfortably forget that. You say, but I promised. Yeah, but you promised someone else first, right? You sort of, you've been in this covenant before you promised anyone else. Lech yitrapes uhav re'echa. So come back and make amends. And reconnect with your friend, with Hashem, with the covenant that you're responsible. Rashi over here gives us a very interesting formula. It's really a Gemara. It's a Medrash also. Lech yitrapes uhav re'echa. So the Talmud says, uhav re'echa, harbe alav re'im. Try to get many friends to pray for you. And this is a way in which what you might call a segula, an amulet. If one wants to achieve things, then one has to realize that if he asks others to pray on his behalf as well, well, that helps. That has a weight in heaven. King David said, "Kivrabim ayu imadi," that he'd often get what he prayed for because he had many people praying with him as well. He didn't pray alone. So people are often embarrassed to ask other people to pray on their behalf. But here you see, it's a good thing. Sometimes that's what'll get you where you gotta go. We're up to Pasuk Vav. Shlomo HaMelech says, Lech el Nemala Atzel. Go to the ant, you lazy one. Go see how the ant behaves and wisen up. Asher in la katzin shoter u'moshel. That the ant, it doesn't have a lieutenant, it doesn't have a policeman, it doesn't have a ruler. No one's looking over its shoulder and telling you what to do. And nonetheless, tachin b'kaitz lachma agra v'katzir ma'achala. It prepares its food in the summer. It collects during the harvest its food. And no one steals from one another. The ants don't steal from one another. Each one works to make its own living to prepare for the future. One of the things that that plagues us is that laziness causes us to ignore the future. And one of the things that King Solomon repeatedly tries to train us is to look to the future. A great example of this is that most guys in yeshiva don't have any savings. How could it be that a guy doesn't have savings? Who's to say what will be tomorrow? We don't spend our life in yeshiva trying to become millionaires. But at the same time, we have to realize that there are expenses that pop up. Suddenly there's a cavity, suddenly there's a root canal, suddenly a guy needs new shoes. Hey, there are expenses that are unexpected, so you can expect the unexpected. A responsible person looks to the future and prepares. Shlomo HaMelech says, listen, it's about being lazy. We all know that there are expenses that will pop up. And so Shlomo HaMelech says, look at the ant. Look and wisen up from it. The ant doesn't need a policeman to look over its shoulder and tell it, go do this, go do that, be quick about it. Each one knows they're responsible for themselves and they each take care of themselves. In the summer, it prepares its food for the winter. It prepares its food during the harvest when food is abundant. Admatai, atzel, tishkahav. Till when, you lazy one, are you going to just stay in bed? Matai, takum mishinatecha. When will you get up from your sleep? Me'at shenot, me'at tenumot, me'at chibuk yadayim lishkav. A person very often says, I'm just taking a nap. And Shlomo Mel says, no. Stop your nap, stop your sleep. Whatever sleep you need, take. And don't go taking naps, I just need a quick nap. No, get out there and work. Minimize your sleep. One of the questions that I've been getting repeatedly over the last few years is people who come through Machon Meir, and after they move on from Machon Meir, they get jobs here in Israel. But during the course of their time in Machon Meir, they weren't diligent about learning Hebrew. They laxed. They were lax about it. They went to Opan a little bit and then got too boring or too hard or too tiring. They didn't go anymore. And then they're here and Baruch Hashem, they're successful. They get married, they have a family, and they have a job. But the way of the world is that the expenses go up. As a person's family grows and as the children grow up, that there are greater expenses. That's normal life. But if a person hasn't developed his language skills, so then in most people's case, there's only so far you could go if you don't have the language skills. And so the question that I repeatedly get is that people say, I'm a big Zionist, I came to Israel and I believed in it before I knew about Judaism, I believed in Zionism. There's no way I'm giving up on my Zionism, but I'm at a point where I can't make ends meet. I have a job, but they're not advancing me, and I can't advance anymore. And I know that no one else is going to hire me for a better job because I don't have the language skills. So maybe I'll go to Chutz La'aretz just for a few years and make up some money, and then I'll come back, and then I'll know the language much better. You see the contradiction in that? You'll be in Chutz La'aretz for a few years, and then you'll know the language much better. So I always say, you're not going to learn Hebrew in Chutz La'aretz. You're going to know the language much worse. How are you going to be better off when you come back? Hey, if you could come back with $100,000 in the bank, and you could take a year off and not work, and study Hebrew, and then fine, maybe that would make sense. Maybe. What about your kids' education? What about your shalom bais? What about the expenses of medical insurance in the United States and all the other expenses? Education is much more expensive there. What about your religious state? Where you're going to live? Religious locations cost more. Whatever. But most people don't have that option. If they go there, there's a great chance they're never coming back. And if they go there, they're going to have to work a long time to make ends meet over there. But at least over there, they can advance. They don't have the contacts anymore, but they could advance. And what I always say is this pasuk: Me'at shenot, me'at numot, me'at chibuk yadayim nishkar. You're going to have to cut off on your sleep hours. You're going to have to cut off on the time that you do certain things that you enjoy. And you're going to have to go back to Ulpan and work on your language skills. You have the skills to advance in your job. Why aren't you advancing? You know why you're not advancing. Because you never developed your language skills. And you reached, that's it. You reached capacity. You cannot advance without better skills. So work on getting those skills. Don't run away from the problem. Don't say, I'll go to Chutz Laretz and we'll figure out then how I can make it work. No. Work on your language skills. So you guys, you can be ahead of the game. Work on your language skills while you're still here. But a person also has to realize that sometimes the solution is you got to get up an hour earlier. That means you're not going to have as much time as you'd like with your kids. But you know what? You take off that time now, and later you'll be able to have a better life, and you'll be able to be with your kids more. There are times in life when that's the solution. Mat shenot, you got to minimize on sleep. Mat numot, you got to minimize the naps. Mat chibuk yadayim lishkav, you can have much less time to sit there comfortably with your hands folded. And you know what? Shlomo Amel says that's the formula for life. The formula for being a productive person is that you don't sleep as much as you'd like. You sleep what you need, and beyond that, you're productive. Uvachim halech reishehecha. And if you do that, then what you're lacking, well, you'll find what you're lacking. The thing that you're missing, you'll be able to attain. Umachsorecha ke'ish magen. And you'll find whatever you're lacking, just like the shield carrier. The shield carrier would always run in front of the knight. The knight is going out to war. And the shield carrier always has to run in front and carry the shield in front of the knight. So just like that, you'll find that whatever you're missing will suddenly run up, will fill itself. You'll be able to attain what you want to attain, what you're missing. Just like the shield carrier runs in front of the knight, so too what you're missing will suddenly be easier to attain, will come running before you. That's the simple reading of these psukim. That Shlomo HaMelech is talking about a person's tendency to be lazy, and he's saying, go look from the ant. Don't say, I'll have my mother call me, I'll have my wife yell at me to get out of bed. People have all these different solutions. Sometimes people say, I need my dad to call me in the morning to get me out of bed for minyan. People sometimes tell me, I'm looking for a wife that'll kick me out of bed in the morning to go to minyan. Shlomo HaMelech says, look at the ant. He's got no one looking over his shoulder. He's just not lazy. He gets up and does what he has to do. So a person has to realize what he's got to do and get up and do it. Minimize the sleep and be productive. On a deeper level, Shlomo HaMelech is talking about learning Torah. And when it comes to learning Torah, we all have this weakness of being lazy. You ever notice that until you sit down to learn, you don't have to go to the bathroom? You sit down to learn, and suddenly you got to go to the bathroom. Suddenly you're very thirsty. Suddenly there are a million things that are distracting you, and now you just remembered your Aunt Gnendel who sent you an email 3 weeks ago wishing you happy birthday, and you never replied, and you feel like 2 cents. Hey, I never replied. It's not nice. I'll get back to the Gemara in just 2 minutes. I'm just going to go reply to that email.
Yes.
You also have an Aunt Gnendel. Okay. The deeper meaning, these psukim are talking about the laziness that sets in with regard to Torah. So when it comes to learning Torah, suddenly every distraction takes on great weight, and there's every reason in the world not to come to the shiur on time, and every reason in the world not to be focused, and there are so many things that I gotta do, or are bugging me, or are interfering in my concentration. And Shlomo HaMelech says, look, to be productive in life, you need to decide you want to be productive. My aunt doesn't have anyone looking over its shoulder. So too, a person who wants to be productive and learn, he has to minimize his sleep, he has to get up, he has to put his head to the books and learn and do the best he can and grow. And then, if a person really works hard at it, he will grow. But you got to work. you know, no tiki no washi. If you ain't working, you're not going to get there. There's no easy way to grow in Torah. But if you do work hard, Shlomo Amel says, then you'll find yourself filled with Torah. You'll find that you've filled the gaps, you've filled yourself in the areas where you were missing, but you wanted to fill your knowledge. You'll find that you've filled them and you'll grow in your learning.